We are coming tonight to the larger catechism, question number 60, and we trust that the Lord will help us to get through this one tonight. We're making more progress in this book, and we're thankful for the Lord enabling us to go along at a fair rate. Now, there is a very interesting scripture in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 20. And there we read that the things which the Gentiles or the heathen sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, literally demons, and not to God. There are great sacrifices made by pagan heathen religions. So we're reading tonight, if you'll recite with me the answer to question number 60. Can they who have never heard the gospel and so know not Jesus Christ nor believe in him be saved by their living according to the light of nature? They who, having never heard the gospel, know not Jesus Christ, and believe not in him, cannot be saved, be they never so diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature or the laws of that religion which they profess. Neither is there salvation in any other, but in Christ alone, who is the Savior only of His body, the church. I remember many years ago, the big thing in the evangelical world was Gandhi. And everyone was talking about the great compassion, the great morality, the greatness of Gandhi. And before he passed away, and there was just, oh, well, this man must be a true believer, even though he doesn't really submit to Jesus Christ. And I remember what a farce. I was just thinking, this is really absolutely ridiculous. But here, our larger catechism puts it in a very interesting light. And I believe what the scripture says, the things which the heathen sacrifice, they do sacrifice to demons and not to God. This is the very essence of heathen religion, a religion that is without the Lord Jesus Christ. For if the Lord Jesus Christ is not the object, is not the person to whom worship is given, the very act of worship has to be idolatry. Now, during World War II, there was, very great diligence on the part of some in adhering to that, to frame their lives according to the laws of that religion which they professed. If you remember the history of World War II, there were many kamikaze Japanese pilots who thought that their patriotic act of suicide bombing would bring them to a happy eternity. They worshiped their emperor, who professed to be God himself in their Shinto religion. But I will say this, that unspeakable was the horror of those kamikaze pilots when from the terrible fire blast that destroyed their mangled bodies, from that their wretched souls were hurled into the fire that shall never be quenched. They were absolutely sincere, and their diligent self-sacrifice was total. But their eternal state is woefully sad and absolutely unbearable. So there were people who were diligently framing their lives according to the light of nature and the religion that they professed. There were many of them. Our larger catechism is directly applying to all such false religionists. And notice what the first thing is we have in the answer, they who have, having never heard the gospel. So many of them never heard the gospel. But it's only the gospel. It is only the gospel that is the power of God unto salvation. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Romans 10 and verse 14. How shall they hear without a preacher? So they never heard the gospel, and they know not Jesus Christ. They know not Jesus Christ. Well, there is no eternal life for them in a glorious, happy place, because Jesus said so plainly in John 17:3, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. What is eternal life anyway? Eternal life is not lying down on a cloud and playing a harp. Eternal life is knowing Jesus Christ and knowing God through Jesus Christ, through His mediation. And so it's very plain that those who, having never heard the gospel, know not Jesus Christ. How are they going to know Jesus Christ without the gospel? There's no way. And believe not in Him, and they cannot be saved. They believe not in Christ, and they cannot be saved. That is very clearly according to the Word of God. Do we believe the Christian religion? The Christian religion is the religion of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is the foremost spokesman of the Christian religion. And Jesus said in John 8 and verse 24, if you believe not that I am He, if you don't believe that I'm the Messiah, ye shall die in your sins. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 3 and verse 18. He said, he that believeth not shall be condemned at some future date. No, He didn't say that. He that believeth not is condemned already. Why? Because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. We believe that chapter. John 3:16 is in that chapter. But John 3:36 concludes that chapter. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth in the present tense on him. So, for one, never having heard the gospel, knowing not Jesus Christ, believing not in Him, there is no way that they can be saved. Be they never so diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature or to the laws of that religion which they profess. The Scripture is so clear because Peter in Acts 4 and verse 12 made it clear. Neither is there salvation in any other. There's no salvation in the non-existent crazy idea of Allah. There's no salvation in any of these religious leaders whose dust is somewhere on the earth or under the earth, under the surface of the earth. There's no salvation. Neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So, the light of nature and of the laws of Christless religion are sufficient to save. Now, you think about that. How could there possibly be salvation through following the light of nature or framing our lives according to the law of any other religion? Just think about that. The absolute absurdity of that, because is there salvation for anyone who frames their life according to the law that God Himself has given? My Bible says in Galatians chapter 2, verse 16, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. So if there is no salvation in the law that God Himself has written on the tables of stone, how can there possibly be salvation in framing your life according to the light of nature or according to the laws of some pagan religion? There's no salvation for anyone who frames their life according to the words of the law of this book. So it's an absolute absurdity to say that a pagan following his pagan religion could possibly be saved. That's ridiculous. Now, Christ alone is the Savior. In Christ alone, who is the Savior only of His body, the church. Oh, that's very powerful statement. Ephesians 3 and 5 and verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. What body? The body of His church, His bride. Alone He saves. He's not saving those that follow any kind of religion and are sincere and diligent and nice people. Okay. Now we've got to think about this. We've really got to think about this. Is there any hope for the salvation of the heathen? Is there any hope for the salvation of the heathen? Yes, there is. Through the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Through sending missionaries and radio broadcasts and internet broadcasts across the world. Praise God. There is hope for the heathen in the gospel being carried through these various means. Dr. Johannes Voss, who wrote such a wonderful commentary on the larger catechism many years ago, he was a great professor in the Reformed Presbyterian Church of North America. Dr. Voss pointed out that Reformed theology has always left the door open, but has not been dogmatic that even the children of the heathen, either imbeciles or dying while young, are among the elect. I'm turning back to the Confession of Faith, chapter 10, and section 3, this is what he quoted. Chapter 10 of section 3 under effectual calling, chapter 10, section 3. Elect infants dying in infancy are regenerated and saved by Christ through the Spirit, who worketh when and where and how He pleaseth. So also are all other elect persons. Now notice, who are incapable of being outwardly called by the ministry of the Word. So under that, you have two things. You have imbeciles, those retarded and unable to understand and unable to frame these things in their hearts and minds, but also young children. Before the age of understanding. Now, I'm going to repeat what Dr. Voss said. He pointed out that Reformed theology has always left the door open, but has still not been dogmatic, that even the children of heathen, either imbeciles or dying while young, are among the elect. Now, I have to say that as I study the Scripture, I am brought to agree with what Dr. Voss said. And one of the great Southern Presbyterian writers, Brother Webb, wrote that great volume, The Doctrine of infant salvation. Tremendous work. And as I read what Jesus says, I mean, I just read it as it is, what Jesus says. It's just, to me, I'm very comforted. But like Brother Voss said, we're not dogmatic on that point. Now, let's think about this. Let's just think for a moment as we come to the end of our study of this 60th question and answer. What if God did save nice, sincere, ignorant heathens that know not Christ? What are the implications of that? If God would save nice, sincere, ignorant heathens that know not Christ, what are the implications? Dr. Moorcraft pointed out some very interesting implications. He said, then the sooner Christianity dies off and is forgotten, the better off the world will be. Bring home the missionaries, close the churches, do away with all Bibles, because preaching the law of God and the gospel then only makes people know their guilt, makes them accountable, in need of Christ and salvation, and without such salvation will utterly forever perish. Now that's quite a statement. I agree with Dr. Moorcraft. If God will save nice, sincere, earnest, ignorant heathen that know not Christ, then we might as well do away with Christianity, because we're only causing people problems. Just leave them alone and let them go to heaven without the gospel. Don't confuse them with the gospel. That is so amazing. So the very idea that someone those people that have never heard the gospel, know nothing of Jesus Christ, don't believe in Him, that they can be saved by living according to the light of nature or their pagan religion, it is absolutely ridiculous. Don't ever send a missionary. If you believe that, don't ever speak to anyone about their soul or about the serious matters of eternity. Because if you leave them alone according to that ignorant, unthinkable idea, they would be better off never hearing, because you're just causing a problem by their hearing. Oh, really? Ooh. So, I'm very glad for the truth of Christ and His gospel. And we praise God that all over the pagan world, including America, the Lord is using His gospel today to cause people to realize, I'm ignorant, I'm hopeless, and I need Christ. And praise God, He's bringing people to Himself all over the world. So, the answer for the world is the light of the gospel. It is not doing away with Christianity so that everybody can go to heaven or wherever ignorantly. So we will go over this one last time. Let it be etched in our minds. So if we see the ridiculous evangelical world saying how Christian these pagans are in their practice of their religion. Okay, number 60. Can they who have never heard the gospel and so know not Jesus Christ nor believe in Him be saved by living according to the light of nature? They who, having never heard the gospel, know not Jesus Christ, and believe not in Him, cannot be saved, be they never so diligent to frame their lives according to the light of nature or the laws of that religion which they profess. Neither is there salvation in any other, but in Christ alone, who is the Savior only of His body, the church.